coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for, and Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit. Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
Welcome, my friends, and hope you enjoy what will surely be another episode of Huntsville Home Video.
It better be.
I hope
that's
so.
That's what we're here for.
Good morning, good afternoon, whenever you chose
good night.
To hit. Yeah, good night, whenever you chose to hit play on this here podcast. My name is Jack Spade. Across from me, Leanne Foster. How are you, friend?
I'm great.
Yeah?
I'm happy to be supplying the soundtrack for somebody who's getting up in the middle of the night to eat cheese.
Yes.
Possibly.
And watch movies.
Right.
Or listen to the opinions of movies by two chuckleheads that they have come to know and love over these last 118 episodes of this fine podcasting program.
Program. God, I love program so much. I love hearing that out in the wild. I really do. So good.
Today, no Transformers for you. No robots.
Oh, darn.
I know.
Rats.
I know.
Rats. Wow, wow.
We decided to switch it up a little bit and just bring it back down to earth. Bring it back down to some assassins.
You know, not Transformer City on Earth.
No.
Just Earth.
Yeah, L.A. Earth with wackadoo, bug nuts, crazy Tom Cruise. But the man makes some fine movies.
He do.
And today we are talking about a movie called Collateral.
Mm-hmm.
A movie that you have never seen, Leanne.
I have not.
Because that's the gimmick to our podcast.
That's the whole point of why we're here.
Uh-huh.
So every time somebody opens up an episode, they should just know that I've not seen the movie until just recently.
That's right.
Yeah.
Until probably 24 hours earlier.
Yeah.
You had never seen these movies.
Pretty much.
That we've watched and talked about. Most of which you have loved and have changed your life.
Most of them. Not all of them, but most of them.
But occasionally, movie comes along, changes the way Leanne thinks.
What do you say you're running at a 98.5%? 95% maybe?
That's still an A.
That's a solid A.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a minus or a plus,
nope.
But it's an A.
Nope.
Yeah.
That still gets me a film degree.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Cinephile Jack knows what's up. And today a movie that came along, I think this would have been, I would have been in the like Japanese, Korean, Asian cinema love of my life at this point. This is when I was like coming heavy with that love.
Do you really love it, or you just love talking about something that no one else can talk about?
No,
it's a mix of both, isn't it?
Legitimately,
it's part of it.
Maybe a teeny tiny bit, but legitimately, there are some fucking bangers in the world of Asian cinema.
Sure,
that came out around this time.
Sure, what year was this?
What did this one come out? 04, 05?
I don't know. Why don't we research?
Because I don't do dates. But
I watched, it's 2004. I would have been 14 years old.
So here's the reason I know that I was super entrenched in the world of Asian cinema, because Tom Cruise's look in this movie,
uh-huh.
which is a very different look for him.
I forgot he had the gray hair.
There's a movie called Deadly Outlaw Rika. And this is the dude
Rika,
from Deadly.
Like Rekka?
R-E-K-K-A. It's like Deadly Outlaw Rika. Like, look at that dude. Tell me that's not Tom Cruise from this movie.
It is Tom Cruise
but
from
like
that movie,
Asian.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was very inspired by that.
Is that Rika or Rekka? Like Rika. Outlaw Rekka?
No. It's
like, Rika? Yeah. What does it stand for?
That's just his name.
Like a Reeker? Like Reeker of Havoc?
Yeah. Sure. Let's go with that.
Hmm.
That movie, by the way, Deadly Outlaw Rika, has one of the wildest fucking endings that makes no goddamn sense, but I fucking love it.
Okay, we'll put it on the list.
Okay, done.
Deadly Outlaw Rekka is on the list.
And now you'll know that when you go into that, be like, this motherfucker's ripping off Tom Cruise's looking Collateral. Nah. Flip the script.
Flip it.
Other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Tom Cruise, wasn't he the last samurai?
Oh, yeah. Huh? Yeah, he was.
So, yeah, he's a ripoff.
Literally the last one.
Mm-hmm.
You see that movie?
No. Well, but doesn't the white guy get to carry the torch?
Spoilers, he's literally the last one.
Ah.
It's like Tom Cruise, he befriends this samurai tribe. He learns them all the white man ways.
Ah.
And then, he rallies them to fight the white man who have guns and shit. And they literally mow down the entire platoon of samurai except for Tom Cruise.
Of course.
Who is literally the last samurai.
Mm.
Oh.
That's a rough one.
That was a rough one.
Mm.
That was a rough one. And like, what's fucked up is, like, the movie before that wasn't too bad. Like, it was all right. And then that ending happened. I'm like, nah, you fucked up, Hollywood. You fucked up.
Once again,
mm-hmm.
You have fucked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But today we're talking about a Tom Cruise movie that I enjoyed much more. But as we know, it doesn't matter what I think.
That's true.
It matters what Leanne thinks.
That's right.
Because with the exception of last week, this is all about her journey.
You know what? I'm gonna combat you on that one. I think last week I made it all about me. I think I found a way to make it all about me.
And some of the comments that came in through our social media platforms, they kind of agreed.
They would agree.
I think they would agree.
Some of my text messages would also agree. So.
Okay. So fuck it. It is truly all about Leanne Foster's journey here at Huntsville Home Video.
I found a way to make me the star. Once again.
So one could say that you got the touch.
Ooh.
You got the power.
Oh. Yes.
So let's find out. Leanne Foster talking about Michael Mann's Collateral.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of it?
Big fan.
Yeah?
Yeah. I liked this one a lot. I liked it a lot. I thought I didn't know. You know, I think Tom Cruise is a nut in real life, but I didn't know how much I was going to believe him in this movie because it was a deviation for him, right, to play mm-hmm. this kind of part. But I thought he was great. I liked his type of hitman. I liked the relationship between Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx
mm-hmm.
in this. It's not odd, but it's like it's they have this odd sort of bond in a way as they keep going throughout the movie, which I really appreciate. And I like some of the shots. I like the handheld camera in their faces. And
dude,
like
Michael Mann makes a beautiful looking movie.
Right. It's really good. And I like how they split them up on some of the shots, you know. I thought it was really great.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of this movie.
All right.
It did not feel 2 hours long.
No,
right.
No, it really didn't. And it almost feels as you know, because the movie, once it starts, you basically just are moving pieces along very quickly to mm-hmm. the ending. You're not wasting time with, oh, why does Vincent do what he does? Or why does this happen? Or it's just like, here's your character. Here's a little tiny sliver of backstory you get through dialogue, you know, throughout the movie, you
right.
get this little piece of thing that happens. You get these beautiful shots of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
You get people dying and falling out of windows and like some gunplay and Tom Cruise doing evil hitman shit.
Right.
And then boom, an ending.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right.
And
yeah.
the ending guts you. It gutted me.
Did it?
For sure.
All right.
Yeah, it did. So yeah, I was the only thing I didn't care for about it was Jada Pinkett Smith once again.
Who, much like Demon Knight, forgot was in it.
Right. Right. Well, she's a forgettable bitch.
She is.
It wasn't until she got bald that we started paying attention. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. You bald bitch.
No one cared who I was until I lost my hair.
I took a drink at the wrong time. Fucking Jada Pinkett Bane is my new favorite thing. Jada Pinkett Bane.
That's when I had my entanglement with August.
You merely pretend to be a bitch. I was born in it.
I was called a Karen before you were a man.
I will end you, Will. R.I.P. Will.
R.I.P. Will. Rest in peace to a real one.
You should have just cussed in your rhymes. You should have just cussed in your raps.
Oh, man. You still would have sold them records. Son of a bitch.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, legitimately forgot that Jada Pinkett Smith was in this movie.
Like, I feel like she's not been a part of our podcast for the longest time, and then now she's just popping up all the time.
Right, yeah. Like, and she came up in Demon Knight.
Is this only the second time? I think there's a previous time.
Probably, but we already forgot about
her. We've already forgot about her because she's a forgettable bitch.
Yep.
When she had hair.
I know what movie I'm going to suggest for next week, and I can already not remember if Jada Pinkett Smith is in it.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So when you said earlier about Tom Cruise, you know, you didn't know if you'd believe him in this role. One thing that I don't think enough people give Tom Cruise credit for is like, yes, the dude is fucking psycho. He's jumping up on couches and shit, you know, years and years ago. I think that's how most people kind of remember him and talk about him, the crazy Scientology shit. But the dude is committed to his fucking roles.
Absolutely. And I think I kind of mentioned this last week. Like, I think Tom Cruise is a nut for his Scientology shit and the jumping on the couch and all that. But I cannot deny how good of an actor that dude is. And I appreciate and respect and commend his dedication to the roles that he takes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his dedication to these movies and getting them made and how he... Like, I definitely respect his discipline, for sure, and his craft.
When he showed up on this one, he basically had army-level weapons handlers on set to be like, hey, am I pulling this gun out right? Am I reloading this right?
See, I love that
am
shit.
Am I doing this right? Mm-hmm. To the point where Michael Mann actually the director went through the same training that Tom Cruise did so that he could direct Tom Cruise like during all these shootouts and shit.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
See, I love that shit. I love that shit about Tom Cruise, you know? But it's just the other shit.
Did you see his the video that's been going around lately of his CinemaCon introduction?
No.
So Tom Cruise basically does his own stunts at this point in
Correct.
His life, and he breaks bones and knees, and he's a care. I'm fucking Tom Cruise. I can fly jets and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was on a biplane.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
I did see a picture of that. Yes, but yeah. I didn't watch the video.
He's basically just like out of his seat belt, you know, just leaning up against the wing of a plane that is in the fucking air. Like, hey, welcome to CinemaCon. I'm Tom Cruise and this is the thing I do and I'm crazy now. Check it out. All I'm saying, Leanne, is if that's the kind of crazy shit you get to do in Scientology, sign me up.
That's also true.
Mm-hmm.
If I got to suck L. Ron Hubbard's wiener to get to that level, I'd do it.
Yeah, his like vapor wiener, because it's not of this material earth.
Correct.
It's like
he's on
Xenu.
To the ninth circle of Scientology or whatever they call it, OT9, OT2, whatever.
Yeah, and if
he's
that's,
moved on from his mortal body,
and
he might come back, but...
And if that's the area where you get to do crazy plane stunts...
Right.
Then that's where I want to be.
Right. Because you've already become a bomb technician.
Correct.
Like, you've got that under your belt. But where else are you going to go? You might need the help of L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to do some really dope shit. But yeah, man. Fucking Tom Cruise, nuttiest squirrel shit.
Dude.
And like, I'm here. Like, I don't care for it. I'm here for it. I don't care that he had a fucking COVID freak out on the set of the new Mission Impossible movie.
I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to get mad at the guy for that. You know what? He told him what to do, and they didn't fucking do it. And he went in there, and he actually, you know, took care of business.
Yeah.
I ain't got no problem with that.
No.
Him nor Christian Bale yelling at that motherfucker, I don't care. Yell at him.
Yep.
Fuck him.
Do what you got to do. Get the movie made.
Get it done.
You seen that trailer for Mission Impossible? That shit looks bug nuts. I'm here for it.
I probably should watch the first one.
You should probably watch any of them.
Okay.
maybe we'll have a Mission Impossible month. We'll watch
my God.
All the Mission Impossible movies.
That would actually be fun.
Right?
Yeah.
There are some good ones in there, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But we're not talking about Mission Impossible.
No. We
Except
are talking
briefly.
About Collateral today. So let's get into it, shall we? Let's get into Michael Mann's Collateral, starring Tom Cruise, Jamie Foxx, and sometimes some other chick is in it.
Yeah. Do I know Michael Mann from anything? I didn't know that name.
Heat? Yeah.
He did Heat?
Yeah.
God damn it, I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to watch Heat when I get the fuck out of here.
It does my heart proud that you've seen Heat. Like,
I love Heat.
Now, you may recall we started this podcast because I was of the opinion that Leanne Foster, you haven't seen any fucking movies.
Right.
And it's like some of them... should have been like, how the fuck have you never seen this? Mm-hmm. And most of them, when I put them on the list, I'm like, God damn it, how in 2020, whatever. But then when you said you saw Heat, I'm like, okay.
We're good.
All right.
I randomly I get so far down the ladder and then I'll hit a good one and then I get back up in the good graces.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. That was one of them. I'm like, okay.
Understandable.
All right.
It's a fucking great movie.
I can't immediately yell at this person like every day because I mean like, goddamn, she's seen Heat. I know you're a big Colin Farrell fan. Uh-huh. Have you seen his Miami Vice?
Yes.
Michael Mann did that one as well.
Okay. Not a big fan of that one.
You know what? I think I'm the only fan of that one.
Okay.
I
mean, it was fine. I just didn't find it exceptional or whatever.
And you didn't have any...
I don't think I watched Miami Vice back
I was
going to
say,
day.
That wasn't one of your jams. But he was actually involved with Miami Vice back in the day. Old TV show, and then so he kind of wanted to do this updated version of it. I thought it was super cool.
It was very pretty. Like I understand. I see. It was beautiful. Some of the shots in the movie. I just didn't latch onto it as anything special. But
that's fair.
I didn't hate it or dog it. Because, you know, Jamie Foxx and fucking Colin Farrell.
Yeah, that's your boy.
That's my boy.
That's your boy.
He's very tanned in that film.
Yeah.
The mustache was a lot. The hair was a lot. You know. But he was bigger, and I liked it.
I 100% tried to go for that look after that movie came out.
Luff.
When he does like the half ponytail.
Yeah, I can't stand that.
You hated that look?
I hate it.
Oh man, that's a good. I was watching that movie going, that's a good look. I'm gonna replicate that look.
No.
Yeah. And that's when
the hair coming down. I can't take it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Can't take it.
And that's when I was a strip club DJ. So tell me with that look as a strip club DJ, is it like prime cheese Jack Spade?
That's the most amazing visual I have ever gotten in my life.
Uh-huh.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
Michael Mann did another movie that you heard about recently. Well, we were discussing this podcast, the movie Mindhunter Manhunter, I'm sorry, with, mm-hmm. You know, like the early version of Hannibal Lecter.
Of Will Graham, the guy from CSI.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, Michael Mann did that one too.
Okay. All right. Well, now I'm a fan of Michael Mann.
Hell yeah.
Who I didn't realize. I was like, oh, who is this man? I'll ask Jack about him. Could have just Googled, but I thought
I was going to say you literally could have just Googled.
I'll trust
it,
you over Google any day.
Aw.
Don't ruin that, though.
Aw,
it
won't.
It comes with great responsibility.
I will not use my power for evil.
Thank you.
You're welcome. let's get into Collateral, shall we?
Well, we start off with a drop in L.A. We're switching bags with Jason Statham at the airport that Tom Cruise is doing.
What a bait and switch that was, huh?
It was a great one, right?
I'm just talking about the fact, like, oh shit, Jason Statham is in this.
Yeah, I thought he was gonna pop up after that, and he did not.
We never see him again.
I was like, this was before he got Crank, maybe or something. What's that big one he's doing now? Isn't he some guy?
He was in the Fast and the Furious movies. He got a spinoff on that with The Rock or whatever. And
okay,
then,
maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
But
I like Jason Statham.
I do too. I'm a fan. Early on, you know, like in the early 2000s, he was in the Transporter series. Haven't seen those?
No.
Oh, those are good. Most of them are good.
Well, write it down.
At least two of them are good.
we narrowed that one down quick.
The first one is real good.
The first one? Put the first one on the list.
I'll do that. Let me add to that.
I thought we were going to encounter him more, but we do not. I was like, okay, all right, well, you don't have that much star power yet, but you'll get there, sir. And also, I always look for this at an airport. Do you? The bag swap? Do you not? I look for criminal activity every time I can, and I've not seen it yet.
Well, I mean, they always tell you, you know, keep an eye on your bag and don't take a bag from a stranger and
right.
this and that.
But I keep watching to see if I'm going to see somebody sit next to somebody and then take a different bag.
Maybe those hitmen are watching for people watching for that.
That's true.
And you're not very subtle.
And I'm not subtle at all, I'm sure. And then I'm putting myself in harm's way and they're not going to believe me when I'm like, I don't remember anything. So I don't remember what this person looked like. Then they would shoot me and kill me.
I mean, if you want to get super duper questioned at an airport, if you're waiting for your bag to come off one of the carousels or whatever.
Uh-huh.
If you go to reach for the wrong bag, because all bags
They look alike. Same. I tie a ribbon on mine.
Yeah, but so do a lot of other people.
That's
then.
True.
Because they're like, oh, no one's going to tie a red ribbon around their thing. Mm-hmm. And this is red ribbons everywhere.
Or, my lime green worked.
Or the worst is if you come off of a flight that was in Florida that for Disney World.
Ah.
Yep. Oh, I got this Mickey Mouse handkerchief. No one's going to have this. Everyone has that.
Everyone had a Mickey Mouse tag.
Man, you go to reach for that bag. Oh, no, that's not mine. Whosever bag that was, they will look you up and down like you just committed the worst crime. What'd you do to my bag?
Some dude grabbed mine, and I literally was like, he's a terrorist.
See? Yep.
What does he want? Yep. And it's like, it was an easy thing to do, but yeah.
Didn't even trust him. Yeah.
He was a terrorist. Yeah. He was a terrorist. Yeah, no, I look for that shit all the time and have never found it. My dad one time went to Costa Rica on a small airplane and they made a stop at an airstrip somewhere and a dude got off with a briefcase chained to his arm.
Cocaine in that.
Right?
Yep.
He was like, you know what? I was curious, but I was not going to find out what that was. Because in those countries, it's legit where the soldiers have the machine guns on the airstrip. So.
Oh, shit. Nope.
He's like, yeah, we're not. He's like, that man left and that's all I know.
he completed his transaction and I had a great vacation.
Right.
I'm here to tell you the story.
Exactly. Exactly. I was like, damn, that'd be fascinating to see. Anyways, we meet Jamie Foxx, who plays Max. He's a taxi driver, which would have to be one of the worst jobs ever to have.
Oh.
You'd get like maybe 2% of fun stuff and then 98% of just shit. Yep. Right.
How many of those taxi cab shows have you ever watched? Because they have like a taxi cab confession show. They have Cash Cab.
No.
Like all these shows about people getting into cabs and you see like the shitty side of everything.
No.
You ever watch any of those?
No, I've not watched any of those.
I've watched like not enough to say that I'm a fan of any. I've seen a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also been surrounded by obnoxious drunk fucks at the end of a night that hop into cabs.
Right.
And I'm like, that cabbie's in for a bad night. Mm. That Uber driver's in for a bad night.
Stay strong, my brother in Christ.
Go with God.
Go with God. So he picks up Jada Pinkett Smith, and she's a lawyer, and he's a really good dude. Like, he saves her money because he knows the routes, and he's like, if you go this certain way, it's going to save you however many minutes or time or whatever, right? That's because he's been doing this for a long time.
Which is a rarity in the cabbie world, I feel. Like, most cabbies are shady, underhanded shysters that want to take your money.
Right.
To the point where, literally in Las Vegas at one point, this is, like, kind of before Uber, there were placards in the back of taxi cabs that said, if this ride costs you more than XYZ, call this number. Because cabbies would leave the airport, take the longest route possible, and, you know, people that kind of know what's up, they're like, hey, this shouldn't take this long. It shouldn't be this much. And it became a problem.
What a bunch of dicks.
Mm-hmm. And then Uber came in and everyone tried to fight Uber.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then Uber drivers just stopped giving a shit because people are trash.
Fucking trash. But he's a good dude. And we learned that he's doing this supposedly part time to get his limo business started. Right. He's got a pic of the Maldives in his visor there. That's where he takes his vacation. And I was like, oh, it's like being in radio. That's the kind of vacations we can afford.
What's your version of that picture?
Universal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to go back in December.
Mm-hmm.
We going, baby.
We going.
So he drops her off. And when she's in the building, she passes Vincent. They don't, you know, unknowingly, right? And Vincent gets in the cab. And he's impressed by Max and offers him $600 for, I think it was 5 stops and then off to the airport.
Yep.
Right? And he says he's working on a real estate deal. I think that's what he said. But we kind of know that that's not the case.
Some a little suspect.
Some a little sus.
About that.
Did you know that's been added to the dictionary?
Sus?
Sus.
All right.
Which I was very excited about.
Do you remember where it came from?
Wait, what?
Where sus became popular?
No.
It was from that Among Us game, I think it's called.
Oh.
And you basically have to... figure out which version of the, you know, like which character is the one that's responsible for the shit falling apart. It's like, oh, blue is sus.
Right.
Red is sus.
Oh, I didn't know that's where it came from. I thought it was just an abbreviation that the kids came up with nowadays.
Maybe.
Don't you like sus?
I like sus.
Okay.
I'm here for sus.
Well, I thought you'd be happy that it's in the dictionary now. Excuse me. Pumpkin spice latte is in the dictionary now.
Why?
Look, ask Miriam. I don't know.
Man. Dictionary needs to raise its standards.
Anyway, sorry, I do research for my show and talk about stupid shit like sus is in the... Wait, was it sus or yeet? Yeet's in there too now.
Well, yeet should be in there.
Right.
Yeet's a great
word.
But
sus is... I think it was sus that was put in there. Anyway, it's fucking collateral. Son of a bitch. That's already in the dictionary. Vincent is kind of talking, and he mentions that he hates L.A. He's not from L.A. He's just there for business. It's disconnected. He read once where a man died on the subway and was there for hours before being discovered. Keep that one with you. It'll gut you later. First stop does not go well. The dude that Vincent goes in to kill lands on the taxi cab, and Max knows what's up, and Vincent shot him. He shot him. It was the bullets in the fall that killed the guy.
That's right. You killed that man. I didn't kill that man.
Shot him. And I was like, that seems very Tom Cruise to me.
It also seems like he said that before.
Right.
Like that's a hitman that's had to say those words before.
He's done it so many times that he's been able to figure out that argument and then relay it on to others. So, yeah.
Like, I imagine the first time when you become a hitman early on in your hit career,
sure,
you're still wrestling with the morality of things.
Mm-hmm.
And some wiser elder hitman is like, no, you didn't kill him. Like, the bullets killed him.
The artery killed him.
And then that car being there, that didn't help matters any.
Exactly.
But you didn't kill that man. Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Just momentum him back.
Yeah.
Over the wall.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so now Max has to help move this dead body, put him in the trunk, and Max is not getting out of this situation. He is in now, and hopefully he'll get more than $600. And this is where I put in my notes. I fully believe Tom Cruise is a murderer. I believe all this has happened in the name of Scientology, and he's been doing the Lord Ron Hubbard's work. So this is where I was totally convinced.
So I also, when this movie came out, I remember, you know, a lot of people saying, oh, Tom Cruise is a villain. I can't buy this, blah, 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 you know. And I was like, no, fucking homie pulled it off. Like, he did super well.
Yeah.
And then, like, years later, Christian Bale said something in an interview where he based Patrick Bateman off of his character from American Psycho.
Off of Tom Cruise.
Off of Tom Cruise, just like that. What he said, that he saw Tom Cruise on a talk show or whatever, and he said that there was a genuineness and a personality that he just seemed like he was faking.
Right.
And like behind his eyes was just the look of a murderer.
Yeah. He said they were like dead there was nothing there.
And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise is fucking killing people.
Yeah.
That's why he's so believable here.
Right.
Is because, like you said, he does this.
His control and his motivation and his focus. Like, it's just, I'm like, yeah, you've
maybe
murdered.
That was part of the, you know, making sure everything was so authentic part of his training. He's like, I'm going to need to kill 15 people.
Probably. And I'm sure Hollywood put that one under the rug.
Right.
Or Scientology put that one under the rug.
Tom Cruise did actually state that one of the things that he liked about the character of Vincent was how he was able to just get in and out of every, you know, building and every situation, like, you know, because he wanted to move that fluidly. So part of the thing that he actually did do for training was he worked for FedEx for a day and would deliver packages in L.A. as like fucking Tom Cruise, but like in disguise with a hat on and shit, and try to not be recognized. Like, just try to blend in like drop off FedEx shit.
That's brilliant.
And that's, that again, part of his training, to just seamlessly get in and out of situations.
I love that so much. See, there's so much about Tom Cruise that's fascinating and lovable. And then, you know.
And then he went home and unlocked Katie Holmes.
Right. He took her ankle monitor off.
Yeah, let her out for the day to graze.
To graze. Damn it. Shit. Anyway, then we get the biggest surprise, I think, for me of the movie. Fucking Mark Ruffalo is in this.
Right.
And Mark Ruffalo, the biggest bitch on social media, is like fucking a dude with a goatee and earrings and a gun. He's a narcotics officer.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this shit is the most unbelievable shit ever.
Like, now this I don't believe.
This I don't believe.
Yep.
How did, like, I don't hate Mark Ruffalo, but he is just a whiny son of a bitch,
he
right?
He sure is.
Is he not? I mean, just bleeding heart. And like, and then he gets to play the Hulk, the biggest of the galaxy, which he ends up bitching down anyway.
I was going to say, one could argue he turned the Hulk into a bitch.
He turned the Hulk into a bitch,
yeah.
Right? His bitch showed out after all those movies. And then, and now he's like a dude?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
It was interesting to see, though, because when he first shows up, he is an undercover cop. He's got the slick back hair.
I thought it was that Benjamin guy at first.
Yeah, it was Benjamin Bratt.
I thought it was Benjamin Bratt at first. I was like, oh, Benjamin Bratt. And then he got in the light. And I was like, A, I should wear glasses. And B, I was like, son of a bitch, that's Ruffalo.
Uh-huh.
And then that light voice came out, and I was like, yeah, that's Ruffalo.
Well, because when he first appears, he's still in the guise of the undercover cop,
right.
And he's talking a little bit more gruff,
uh-huh.
And he's got that kind of Mexican accent on him, and he's just like, hey, Ramon, where are you at? You know, and he's like kind of trying to find his buddy, and then he realizes that he was like probably shot and thrown out a window, and he's like, do 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 do. Yes, this is Officer so-and-so, and I am at a possible crime scene. And then Ruffalo comes out.
The Ruff comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ruff is even in his name. Like, he plays so opposite of what he is.
But I think he spells it with a P-H.
That was good.
Thanks.
That bitched that up really good. That was good. Yeah, so he's a narcotics detective who finds out that Ramon has been, or he believes that he's been thrown out the window. He's dead either way. Ramon is an informant, we learn. So now we got the narcotics detective involved. Our boys are on to the next stop. And I put here, I love how calm Vincent is in all of this. Like, this is just his normal day-to-day job.
Yeah.
And he takes the time to genuinely calm down Max. Like
right?
They have this really good little bond. You know, like they work well with each other. It's like a reluctant buddy cop almost. Like, it's just, it's good. I like it.
It's almost, you know, in those situations where, you know, crazy shit is happening, they always say like the person that's most level headed and calm
right.
will calm the others down. Mm-hmm. You know, like when everyone's freaking out, like if Vincent was freaking out, Max would be freaking out. But he's just like, hey, dude, it's a situation. We're in this thing. We got to do this
right.
thing. Like, just, hey, bring it down, buddy. Yeah. Bring it down. We're right
but he
here.
Genuinely cares about his calm.
Yeah.
Like, he genuinely cares about, like, look, you're in a situation, and I'm, like, even though I put you in it, it's okay.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be all right. You're good. Yeah.
Yeah, never mind all that shit that I just did.
Right. Never mind that I killed a man.
Let's focus on you right now. How's that limo business coming? Tell me more about the limo.
Right, exactly.
Well, it's going to have an island theme. It's like, yeah, island theme. Okay, yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. So, and I also love this, during this dialogue, Max wants to know about this guy and why he was killed, why Ramon was killed.
Oh, this was so good.
And it's and like, they keep going back and forth. And finally, Vincent's like, you know about Rwanda? He's like, Rwanda, more people died there and you don't do shit. Did you join this club or this or Greenpeace or whatever? You didn't do shit. Don't throw a hissy fit about a fat criminal.
Uh-huh.
And I was like,
yes.
I was like, respect.
I was watching that and I was like, I should put this clip on Facebook right now.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Right now.
Yes. Yes. 100%. I was like, I respect that 100%. He is not wrong. There's villains always have a point.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his point that day.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Every time someone gets on social media about some bullshit that does not fucking bother them, that they're getting all bent out of shape for, that they
right.
could literally not give a fuck less about,
uh-huh.
other than the likes and the shares on Facebook.
Yes.
I'm posting that fucking line from Collateral.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's so great. And also, Vincent takes the time to help Max with Max's boss, because word gets back to Max, because they had gotten stopped by police at one point and it got called in that they had some damage on the taxi cab. So his boss is radioing over and like, I'm going to take the damages out of your check and all this shit. And Vincent walks him through about, you can't do that. you know, insurance is going to cover this, blah, 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 blah. Tells him to what, kiss his ass? Or kiss
he basically just, like, grabs the CB and is just like, I'm a labor lawyer, and this is my, you know, I'm in this cab, and da-da-da-da-da, starts rattling off all this shit, and you're like, fuck yeah,
you're
dude.
Doing this to the working man? Like, I loved that line. Yeah. I was like, fuck yeah, Vincent.
And again, you have to ask yourself within the confines of this movie, it's like, how many times has Vincent done that?
Exactly. You know? Right?
Like, he
sharp.
You know, yeah.
He's on his toes. I love it. So we're at the second stop. He zip ties poor old Max to the steering wheel. Max is trying to get some help, but these guys end up robbing him when they come to the taxi cab. They also steal Vincent's briefcase, which is very important. But Vincent is in and out, and he fucks those dudes up. Boom, boom, boom. They gone fast.
Yep.
I love it. Just shoot them and be done.
Uh-huh.
I don't like this back and forth. Shoot them, be fucking
done.
Two
in the chest, one in the head, doesn't even look back.
Right, nope, he doesn't. Oh, and I put here, I like gray-headed Tom Cruise.
Right?
I liked him. I love the look. I like the gray-headed Tom Cruise with the gray suit. It was a great choice. It was a great look.
Very good look.
Very good look. So Max and Vincent, they head to a jazz club because they're supposedly ahead of schedule. And they get the music, the owner of the club over, and they talk Miles Davis and music. And then Vincent mentions Cartagena and some other place I couldn't remember. And oof, the atmosphere changes really quick.
Yeah, the mood got real icy.
Mood got real icy. So the owner drops the name of Felix and basically like, I apologize, but I can't go back in. So there's some shit going on. And Vincent says, if you can answer this question correctly about Miles Davis, I will let you live. But that's not the case. And Vincent kills this guy. That was kind of sad.
That felt
bad for the guy.
That was very out of nowhere, too.
It was very out of nowhere. And I love how instantly, like with the mention of Cartagena, that just drops the atmosphere so bad.
I really like this scene because it's just like, oh, cool, we get this quirk about Vincent that he's just a jazz fan.
He loves jazz.
Like, why not, like, you know, go kill like 3-4 people, calm yourself with some jazz. Oh, no, he shot this dude in the head. Holy shit.
And shot him in the head so fast. Nobody, Max wasn't, neither one of them were expecting it so fast. It's a small table. You think about a little table at like a club, and right in front of Max, too. Like, and that blood coming at Max's face, like, it was insane. Can you imagine that happening to you?
No.
Just boom. I'd have shit my pants right there. I'd have had to go to Walmart right then because your girl would be in a mess.
That's the remake I want to see. I want to see Collateral with you as the taxi driver. That would be... I shit my pants. Hey, it's okay. The first time I saw someone shot in the head, I shit my pants too. You know what I did? This is how I got out of the situation. I went, I got some diapers, I got cleaned up, I got back in the game. Now, we got three more stops to make. Now, Leanne, let's go. We've got to go.
Okay, but we're rolling down the windows of this taxi cab because I've shit my pants.
I bring Febreze with me on every assignment.
Close the divider. So we then head to the hospital because we find out that Max visits his mother in the hospital every night, and we do not want to deviate from our normal pattern because that's when people start looking and being sus and getting involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get to the hospital, we get to the elevator, and of course, Ruffalo and Vincent and Max are all in the same elevator at the same time. Our boys go to floor 3 and Ruffalo goes to floor 5. We were so close. Now, while Ruffalo is there, he finds patterns with dead, or the guy at the morgue, he finds patterns with these dead bodies and realizes that, hey, there's some shit going on. And he throws out this one lawyer. He was like turned criminal or something. Anyways, he represented Ramon at one point. So we know, hey, there might be something to this that's a lot bigger than what we realize, right? Then we go to Vincent, who is charming Max's mom. And while that's happening, Max steals Vincent's briefcase. And now we're on a chase. And Tom Cruise's little legs are just a book. And he is running down. And then Max throws the briefcase from the overpass onto the freeway. And papers go everywhere. And it's not good because all the prep work was in that briefcase. That's how we know the people and the stops and all that shit. So now we've got a major problem. Mm. So we go to the next stop, and there's great dialogue on this way, and the way we talk about like parents and Max's dreams and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's, I just really like that part of the movie. Max and Vincent interacting with
just
each other.
Just those quiet moments
between,
you know, the assassinations and shit. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a very interesting, you know, we go from this side of the assassination spectrum to now it's like, okay, now we got to get to the next one. But like, hey, let's get to know you.
Right. We have a good moment. And we don't take up any time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like the movie's pausing because you're in the car and you're on to the next thing. So, you know, right. So we've got two more to kill, and we stop to go see Felix, right? Mm-hmm. Is this Felix where we go? So Vincent will not go in. He wants Max to go in and say that he's Vincent. He goes, I remain anonymous. So you're going to go in there. You're going to get me the backups, and either you'll die or I'll go and execute your mother. I was like, oh, shit, that's a shitty deal. So he goes in.
Is
and
it, though?
Yeah. Well, I have a good mom.
Well, I mean, I wasn't even talking about mine. I was talking about his because,
he did do what he did, and this is retaliation. I mean, this is what he's got to do.
Well, and it's like even when Jamie Foxx, like when Max shows up to the hospital and his mom is like, "Oh, why are you here? Blah blah blah, this and that," and she's just like kind of bitchy.
She's kind of rough.
But then you know she'd like. As soon as Vincent was like, oh, actually, the flowers are for me. And then, she was all lovey-dovey after that.
That's how parents are, though. Mm. That's how parents can be.
Bullshit.
I know. As a child, I know.
As a child, right? I know. Who has a relationship with her mother, let me tell you.
So Max goes in. Now, unfortunately, when he goes in, he is seen on camera. And so is the damaged taxi that the cops are looking for, right? It's seen by Mark Ruffalo because Felix is under surveillance by the FBI. So we've got these informants that are turning against Felix, right? So he's under surveillance, and the taxi is called in while Max meets with Felix, who's Javier Bardem. I love him. I love him. There's something about him I love him. I think it's because of No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
I think that's really where my love for him, like, so whenever he's on screen, I'm just like,
And he had just recently learned to speak English in this by the time he was filming this movie. But now he was having to speak English with a different accent that wasn't his. So it's like he's already learning a new language and now he's learning to speak that language in a new accent. That's fucking wild to me.
He did a great job.
He did fucking awesome.
So we're talking about the list of people being full of witnesses and informants, and it should not have been lost. We're like, sorry. And he's furious talking about Santa Claus and Pedro Negro, I believe was his name, you know, that's supposed to watch all the bad children. Like, I loved that. And then Max gets into his role. Like, it finally clicks with him, and he threatens to beat the bitch ass behind him if he keeps touching the gun or whatever. And he says, I picked up a tail, and that's why I tossed the list, to protect you. And we get some of that really good Jamie Foxx acting.
Some good thinking. Some good thinking, right?
And Felix, like, is now he's changed his tune, gives him the backup, or he goes, can you finish? And Max goes, it's because he asked Vincent, he was like, how long have you been doing this? 6 years. So he goes, in 6 years, when have I not? And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. So he gets the backup. We're on to the next stop while the feds are following. And
I do gotta add something to this little point right here. So I like how Jamie Foxx portrayed his character. Like, he's not a total bitch, but he's not a total badass either. He's like in this situation, like once he realizes, you know, oh shit, Vincent's a killer and he's probably going to kill me whenever he gets the chance. Like, he doesn't completely turn into a blubbering jackass.
No.
But he doesn't turn into, like, superhero either.
No.
Like, this moment here when he kind of turns that on, I looked at that as, like, he's trying to survive this situation.
Absolutely,
right?
100%.
But, like, I've seen other movies where a character is in, you know, perhaps a similar situation, and they've been just a blubbering mess the whole movie and then turn it into like, oh, I'm a fucking badass. Like, no, you're not, dude.
No.
So I really appreciated Jamie Foxx's subtleness to what he's done so far. Mm-hmm. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I like the good look that we get of him before we meet Vincent, because we realize that this guy is very, he is smart. He's not like crazy smarter, like you say, like a badass, but he's smart and he's able to understand people and read situations.
And
he's,
he
does that by the people who are in his cab. And we get a good look at that when he's interacting with Jada Pinkett Smith's character.
Yeah. And even when they're showing him in the opening scene, just kind of meticulously cleaning his cab, like he's disciplined in a way that Vincent is. They're just disciplined on two different things.
Exactly. That's the perfect way to put it. Yeah. Yes. So we have that. He gets the backup. We're on to the next stop. The feds are following. Also, Mark Ruffalo is following, and he thinks they're wrong about Max being the real hitman here. He doesn't see this cabbie being a hitman, right? So he's following also. And then we have a moment here where we're driving down like the empty street, and is that a coyote? It was like a couple coyotes cross, and then
with a little audio slave playing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Shadow on the Sun plays.
Michael Mann loves him some Audio Slave.
I can tell you why people die alone.
God, it's such a good song.
Oh, that one hits every time. And I hadn't heard that song in forever. And I was like, son of a bitch. My heart just like.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was a perfect, like a perfect scene, a well shot scene. That particular thing, like adding the coyote in, I love that because film buffs have debated about what the meaning of that is.
Right.
And ultimately Michael Mann is like, fucking think what you want. I was like, yes, that's the right answer, Michael Mann. Fuck yeah. Sometimes a coyote is just a fucking coyote.
Don't reveal what's behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always need to.
Mm-hmm.
Just because people ask for it doesn't mean they need it.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you set that to the beautiful tones of
that was a well picked song for that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then when it really hits, son of a bitch.
If you do want to get film nerd on it for a minute,
sure.
What do you think the significance? What do you personally think the significance is?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know why there was a coyote there.
All right.
I was like, the coyotes don't belong there.
Right.
Right.
Well, and so earlier in the movie, when he's trying to cover for the blood and stuff on the cab, he says that it was like he hit a deer. He's like, oh, you hit a deer in Compton,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, like an urban deer or whatever. And so it's like, I kind of interpreted it as like, oh, see, like sometimes fucking random shit does happen. Like it was, you know, in this case, it was like a coyote, could have been a coyote, fucking whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to go on the deeper or metaphysical thing, you know, it's like, oh, coyote is a bad omen or some shit like that.
Right. I figured, well, you know, it's
because
they're
like,
kind of, I don't know. Do they travel in packs or are they loners?
Well, if it was a lone coyote, he is a loner.
Right. But there were two, weren't there?
No, there was just one.
Was there just one? I thought there were two.
Uh-uh.
Oh,
no. Hmm. And then Jamie, both Max and Vincent do kind of have a reaction to the coyote.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm sure Max's reaction is he's thinking something different than Vincent.
Sure.
But you know, it's like, I'm like, okay, cool. You know, there's a cool coyote and it's like, it is what it is. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
But that
I'd
is
like
also
for there
one of those,
to be a deep meaning.
Yeah. That is
but
also,
I wasn't really sure what it was.
Well, that's also one of those things that like that film nerds are just like, oh, well, the deeper meaning behind that is like blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, 2004, 2005, Jack tried to find that meaning, ultimately found that there is no meaning. So it's kind of like life.
Maybe they are two lone coyotes who have now found each other.
Mm.
And they are dependent upon one another. Once lone coyotes.
Yep.
I don't know.
Or it was a bad omen, and Vincent realized, man, my night's about to end fucking horribly.
I'm about to die. Shit. Anyways, so we get to the nightclub Fever, where literally everyone is going. The feds, Vincent, and Felix's people to make sure that the job gets done, right, as extra security. So Vincent, we get in this crowded club. Vincent finds his security people. He's scoping out the situation. And he gets this guy's security that he's after. And then it becomes chaos because the feds spot Max, who they think, of course, is the hitman, right? So then they start shooting. And everybody starts shooting. People get shot. And Max is almost shot by Felix's people, but Vincent saves him. which I really loved. Like he saw and then like wait, like nodded to him, like I got you. You know, even though I pulled you into this mess, I got you, right?
Also, you know, you see that as like a kind of like an altruistic, hey, buddy, I saved you. But I see it as like, hey, I still need you.
Oh, very true. Yes. Nope. You're right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He does need him. That's why he's in this mess.
I don't want to have to find another driver.
Right.
Guy's actually pretty good.
Right. So he shoots Felix's people. Ruffalo, in the meantime, finds Max. And he goes, look, man, I know you're all right. I'm gonna get you out of here. So, and that's what he does. Ruffalo gets Max out of there. Vincent gets his job done, gets that informant. And then he kills Ruffalo right as they get out because he's already at the car. He's already gotten out of the club.
Because he's a pro.
He's a pro.
Also, Ruffalo even gets shot like a bitch.
Right, he does. But the look on Max's face when he almost made it out and then didn't. That was rough. Mm-hmm. That was a rough one. I was like, oh, damn it, man. That's crazy.
So at this point in the movie, are you thinking, like what's the end game? Are you thinking, how are we going to get to the end? Are you thinking if Jamie Foxx's character is going to make it out of this at the end of the night? Like, what are your thoughts at this point in the movie? Or are you just in for the ride?
Well, I didn't put it together. I thought they were both going to make it out. I thought both Max and Vincent were going to make it out of this.
Okay.
And that possibly, and then they would go their separate ways and everything would be fine. He would pay him more or get his limo business started for him. That's what I really wanted to happen. That's what I did. And then also when they're in this car and they're talking, they reveal a little bit more about this whole Felix thing and this case and whatever. This was where I put it together. Oh shit. Jada Pinkett Smith is the last person.
Uh-huh.
This is the attorney. I got it right before we get the big reveal. But I thought I really wanted both of them to make it out of there. And there's a mutual respect among these two people and they go their separate ways.
Okay.
What did you think?
I was of the thought, and like I knew they probably wouldn't have ended a big Hollywood movie like this. But I legitimately at the end of this just wanted it to be Vincent and Max in the cab, like on the way to the airport, and somewhere before the airport, Max just gets shot in the back of the head.
Oh, that would be great.
Like, I kind of out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Tom Cruise is like pulls off side of the road or whatever. Another car picks him up, goes to the airport, and then he's just like on to the next one. Just credits, directed by Michael Mann.
That's actually really good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's super messy. And
yeah.
That would have been a real big heartbreaker.
Right?
But that would have been awesome.
That would have, like, and so the way the movie ends, and we'll get to it here in a little bit, but that's also the second movie with Jamie Foxx where, like, I violently disagreed with the ending. The other one being A Law-Abiding Citizen. You ever see that one with?
Yes, I did, with Gerard Butler. Uh-huh. I was trying to think of how it ended. He burned, didn't he?
Well, yeah, he like he tricks Gerard Butler's character, and he gets trapped in his cell, and he just detonates the thing, and it's like, okay, so he fucking loses. I'm like, no, hate it, and like later found out Jamie Foxx is like the ending was supposed to be with Gerard Butler's character winning. And Jamie Foxx was like, I don't like this. We got to change this ending. So he was like the kind of the catalyst for changing the ending.
Oh, motherfucker.
I was like, that's what I'm saying.
I don't like that.
I don't like that at all.
Did he just do that because he wanted to be top dog?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, damn it. I hate hearing that about people.
Mm-hmm.
I hate hearing that about Jamie Foxx.
Oh, there are so many actors that are like little bitches about things. Like, as much as I hate to say this because you know I love him, but The Rock is like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock in the Fast and the Furious movies, like when his character interacts with Jason Statham.
Yeah.
Like, neither one of those characters wins.
Right. They have to be a draw. I remember reading something about this. There were so many stipulations about neither one could lose. They had to have equal amounts of damage.
Like if I hit you five times, I need to hit you back five times or vice versa or whatever. I was like, come on, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
That's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
That's so stupid.
So dumb. Like, yeah, like all you're doing is you're taking away from the integrity of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the movie was supposed to end this way and you didn't like it, don't sign on for it.
Right. Exactly.
Like let the movie end how it's supposed to end,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm not saying that Collateral was supposed to end this way. I'm just saying that's how I would have ended it.
I like that ending. Mm-hmm. I like a good messy ending.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Like, not everything needs to end on like
No, we don't need to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Into a nice little bow.
Nah.
Yeah. End in chaos.
End in chaos.
So we are going downtown for the last hit, and Max finally has had enough, and he gets reckless, and he starts driving fast, which I wondered why he didn't do that the entire movie, because I think my first MO would just be like, yeah, I'm going to crash into something so that cops have to come and rescue me. Like, you know what I mean? What else? That, to me, would be the way to do it. So he wrecks that fucking car, and they both live. Vincent gets out before the cops show up. And this cop shows up and he's like trying to help Max calm him down or whatever. And then he finds the dead body in the trunk, which I had totally forgotten about at this point.
Yep.
I totally forgot about him. And he sees from the briefcase that the last hit is Jada Pinkett Smith, Annie or whatever his name was, whatever her name was, right? So Max cuffs the cop, takes his gun, tells him where he's going, and takes off to save his gal, right? And he tries to call her. I don't know why he just didn't take the cop car. So he's running down the street. But he tries.
It looks cooler.
That's also true.
You ever been in a major downtown area at night when things are just kind of quiet like that?
Not really, no.
It's very much like this movie. There's something just kind of otherworldly about it. You know, you're
to
not.
See something quiet that's not usually quiet.
Yeah. It's.
Well, I guess I've driven down in Atlanta before, and it is an odd sight to see it dark.
Yeah. It's dark, but there are still lights on. There's an occasional person like doing something, but there's not really any traffic. It's easy to get in and out.
Right.
It's just, it's not supposed to be that way, but it is, and it's kind of cool.
It's like a zombie apocalypse has happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It's like
exactly.
Walking Dead. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really appreciated the way that this movie was shot, you know, in and around downtown LA or whatever. In that time frame, like in that environment. So like
right.
To have Jamie Foxx running through an empty downtown LA, I thought was a good look.
You do get like the coyote.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's why that coyote's there, 'cause ain't no cars around.
Right.
He's like, oh, I'm going to check it out on here, see what's going on.
Ain't nothing fit at night in LA except for coyotes.
That's right.
So he takes off, he grabs somebody's cell phone off the street and he tries to call her because he's got her business card. And he's trying to get a signal, which is something I forgot that we used to have to do all the time.
That was a thing.
See, back in the day, kids, you didn't have just wall-to-wall coverage with your cell phone. You know, you had to just go to certain places to be able to find that signal.
Yeah.
So that you can make a call or check your Facebook.
That can you hear me now guy was a thing for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He runs up like this car parking garage, right, where he's able to see the building that Annie is in, and he sees that Vincent is there. Luckily, Max gets the warning, finally gets a hold of her, and she is in a different floor. She's on a different floor, not in her office. But Vince sees the red light on the phone and knows that a line is being used, so there's somebody two floors above.
That's just good hitman training right
there.
That's
good hitman training. And then Max's cell phone dies. No. And then Vincent takes out the phones and the power to the floor. No. And Max gets in the building to save Jada, which I lovely put next to that. Ew. And then.
Nice note. That's
right?
A good note.
Isn't that a good note? And then we have a standoff between Max and Vincent. And holy shit, Max does not hesitate. He fucking shoots Vincent in the neck. That I didn't see coming. Or shoulder or wherever it was. It got him right in there. I didn't see him doing that.
No.
Did you see him taking charge like that? I didn't. But he did, because it was the right thing to do. He just should have gotten a little bit over to the left.
Yeah.
So the chase is on. We get into the subway. Vincent ends up finding them. And he's going through the cars. And I love where that subway, it stops, the MTA or whatever it is, like the transit. And they Max or Vincent gets off and he waits because he knows Vincent's there. And he waits for him to get off and he does. Oh, and then they pop back in.
Super tense.
Super tense. And then finally they get They have a standoff between the doors, and they just start shooting at each other through the fucking doors. And bullets are going off, and I fucking loved this. It's so good. I don't know if he didn't have a clip or if that was just the reveal of, hey, I'm shot. I'm not going to make this make out of this. But they shoot each other, and then Vincent drops the clip out of the gun, and he reaches down, and then he stops. And again, I don't know if he just didn't have a clip there or if he just goes, this isn't worth it, I'm dying. And he just puts the gun down and he sits into the seat, and you can see the blood coming out of his jacket where he has been wounded.
Just kind of slumps
over. He just
over.
Kind of slumps into the chair, and Max comes out, and I love that Max sits across from him. And then, oh, a knife to the heart. Vincent goes, a guy dies on the MTA in LA. Do you think anyone will notice? Which is like the story he told at the beginning of the movie. And then he dies. He just sits there and his head slumps over and he's fucking dead. And then they hit the next stop and they just leave him there. They leave Vincent. It's cold. I'm sorry. I know that Vincent got him in this mess, but it's cold. You know? Oh, broke my heart. And that shot of him from like several, like down several cars away, like that shot down.
Just as the lights start to flicker.
As the lights start to flicker and the thing takes off again and he's just sitting in the seat but slumped, like his head's just slumped down. Him dead in that seat and that car rolling. Oh, that murdered me.
And you're like, yeah, he's going to be there for like six stops.
He's going to be there for a while. And I put in here, fuck LA.
And their imaginary tar pits.
Yes. And yes. They're not real. And then that is the end of the movie.
That was Collateral.
Collateral. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super good.
That ending gutted me. I know he's the hitman.
No,
I know he got
it.
I know he got everybody involved, but son of a bitch.
I didn't expect you to have that kind of reaction to the ending.
You know, I did.
I mean,
it was cold because that whole comment at the beginning, and you know he's just going to roll around there. Like, whether you agree with him being a hitman or not, what a talent the man has.
Right.
What a life he's done. What a training he's done. He's taken out bad people. Who gives a fuck, right? And then that to be the end, for that to be the end of anyone's life, that is a sad, sad thing.
Well, and my big takeaway from that, the thing that I don't like is, okay, so here comes Vincent just methodically stalking throughout these subway cars. He has got his gun laser focused on his target. And then Jamie Foxx pops out and you know, they're both on either side of the door. And Vincent is just very steady shooting like
right.
at his target. And Jamie Foxx is like, his gun is flying around, flopping around all willy nilly.
And Jamie didn't get a bullet.
Not even a graze.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on, bro. Like
no.
I was with you 100% up until this point. And now you're just like, I'm just going to fire willy-nilly at this dude and fucking take him out. Get mm-hmm. the fuck out of here.
No, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%, but I was overshadowed in sadness.
I was overshadowed in sadness.
It's true. It's true.
That's, I think that's the name of my favorite Smashing Pumpkins album. Overshadowed by
overshadowed
sadness.
Overshadowed and sadness.
I'm just kidding. I don't like the Smashing Pumpkins.
I don't give a fuck about them.
Nah.
I just feel like they're whiny. I've never understood yeah. the hype. Okay, you're a rat in a cage, bro.
Yep.
Shut the fuck up.
You know what?
They had like one good song.
You know what the biggest oddity to me is that whiny, pretentious, artsy douchebag Billy Corgan owns a professional wrestling federation.
It's like Ruffalo being a narcotics detective.
Right?
What?
I'm like, how?
Of course he like, you know what? I'm not even going to say it because I got choked up.
I was going to say.
Never mind.
Bite your tongue about professional wrestling now.
Never mind. I will stop.
But overall, I still very much enjoyed Collateral. I enjoyed Tom Cruise's turn as a, you know, I guess technically a villain.
Yeah, I did too. Has he done more like that, or has he just stayed?
Not that I can immediately remember. This was like the biggest thing. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he should do it now because he's gone so far down the rabbit hole of Scientology that people might really tack that on to him.
See, I say that this would be the perfect time to do it.
Mm.
I think that's also true. But I also think he needs to find the perfect role to do it. Because Tom Hanks played a bad guy once in Road to Perdition, where he was like a 1920s gangster hitman or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was a good movie. It was all right. But like, I completely did not buy Tom Hanks as a bad guy in that one. I just don't think that was the right role for him.
Okay.
I think this was a perfect, Vincent was a perfect thing for Tom Cruise to do. If he could do something, you know, not even like that, but a role that was right for him, you know, perhaps a bit too on the nose, but if he was a cult leader, perchance, you know, like, I think, I think that might be a really good one for Tom Cruise.
That's why I say it's not a good time from a PR standpoint. That would be a public relations nightmare. Right.
But how many bullets has Tom Cruise ducked on a PR standpoint? That man is untouchable.
That's true.
I mean,
that's what you get when you got L. Ron pumping through your veins.
I'm telling you, man. And think about how many other Scientology people have also been taken down over the last couple of years, you know, for their bad doings. But like Tom Cruise, like, the man is unfuckwithable. The man has a movie that is currently in theaters that is a sequel to a 30-year-old movie that just passed The Black Panther at the box office. It has made more money than fucking almost everything.
That's wild.
Isn't it, though?
Right.
Tom Cruise, baby. Let the man keep making movies. He also looks as good or better as he did. Like, he looks as good or better now as he did in Collateral. Like, come on.
It's true. He's not really aged too badly.
Nah.
He should embrace the gray hair, though. I think gray-haired Tom Cruise should be the look now.
I'm telling you.
To be honest, because of this movie.
I think that is a good look. But, you know, he's just like, ah, fuck, I can't have gray hair when I'm out flying jets and shit.
He probably just legitimately doesn't have any grays.
Maybe.
Probably.
Maybe.
You know? Who knows, man? The guy's an enigma.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Have you seen the new Top Gun yet?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you seen the first Top Gun?
I have seen the first Top Gun many a times. Right. I haven't seen it in a very long time, but yes. No, that's a movie I should have seen in the theater.
I think it's still playing.
Is it still in the theater?
Not only is it still playing, it was the number one movie at the box office last weekend, and it came out in, what, fucking June or July? Because of their whole, like, $3 cinema day. That theaters across the country did all these movies, and there was really nothing new that came out. Top Gun went back to the number one spot after like 4 months, which
Isn't that insane. That's amazing
that movie can do that. And also, people kind of chastised Tom Cruise a little bit because he was very adamant about Top Gun not going to streaming right away because, you know, we're still kind of like riding out the end of that pandemic or whatever. A lot of movies doing theaters and streaming like day and date. Tom Cruise is like, nope, this movie is going to theaters. This movie needs to be seen in theaters. It was made for theaters.
He's not wrong.
And he wasn't.
Right.
He absolutely wasn't. And fucking the country proved that for him.
Man, again, I cannot help but respect Tom Cruise.
Right?
Like, it's an odd thing for me because there's part of him that I'm like, eh. And then the other part I'm like, God damn, you do what you do so fucking well.
I think there's a certain segment of, like, the internet and social media and even just regular media that's like, hey, we should really rally against Tom Cruise for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even I'm guilty. I'm like, yeah, we should, because he's a fucking nutcase. But then, like,
well, he supports a nutty organization.
Very true.
There's some fucking crazy shit that goes on in there.
Yeah.
That's my beef. That's my beef.
But then at the same time, it's like, well, the dude makes some great fucking movies.
I know. It's like, we can't give Kevin Spacey a pass, but we can give Tom Cruise a pass because he's not touched anybody that we know of.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I don't have to draw the line for you yet.
Yeah, he might be like grooming them on a like a cult level standpoint, but it's like they're legal. You know, they're not underaged. He's not a predator.
that we know of
that
yet.
We know of.
We don't have definitive proof that he's a predator. And he's just like the spokesperson now for this place.
And mark my words, and I don't care if this makes me a fucking horrible person, if the day comes where all this shit comes to light that Tom Cruise is indeed fucking absolutely monster human being, predator human being, the next words out of my mouth were, that sucks, but have you seen Collateral?
No, I don't blame you because I'm that way about Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like the fucking, I think he's one of my favorites. And then I'm just like, ah, shit, but I'm still going to watch his movies.
Mm-hmm.
As we've proven multiple times on this podcast.
Yeah. Now, would I line up to see something new from Kevin Spacey? Probably not.
No. No.
Would
I'll enjoy what he gave us when he was hiding in the dark.
I will also go on record as saying if Kevin Spacey does do a piece of acting with, you know, like in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, and then starts, like people start praising him for that, I'll be like, you don't get to, because you pointed out that he was a monster, which is rightfully so,
right.
But then you don't get to praise him after the fact. You can praise him for everything they've done beforehand.
Right.
Except for the kid touching part.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's bad.
The kid diddling, we don't condone
either. Wag of the finger. But his work in The Ref, very good.
Very, very good.
Check out her review at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com.
Nicely done. He was a great Nixon.
He was. Check out her review of Elvis and Nixon at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Ding.
There was another one. I don't remember it.
Yeah, he's been in a couple things.
He's been in a couple things that we've talked about.
That we've chatted about here.
You know, do your own research, bros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only 118 episodes. You can scroll back.
You can sift through that.
Yeah.
No props.
So give Collateral some stars, won't you?
I really enjoyed it. I had a good time with it. I appreciated it. I really like Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx in it. And again, the ending gutted me. Got me. So I'm going to give it a 3.75.
All right. That's a good review. I really appreciated this movie. Love this movie. Even going back to it, having not seen it for a couple years. Love the cinematography of it. I love the look of a Michael Mann movie. There's something that's so incredibly polished, but yet so gritty about it.
Yes.
And I love that he is able to capture both of those elements.
Mm-hmm.
I love the performances. I love Tom Cruise in this movie. I like the fact that he looks like the dude from fucking Deadly Outlaw Rika. So I too will give it a 3.75.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yay. We didn't have a ranking system on that one.
I'm going to give that a 3.75 random coyotes out of 5.
That's good. I like it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Yeah. Shadow on the Sun!
How quickly did you go back and listen to Audio Slave? Were you listening to that on the way here?
I didn't listen to it on the way here, but I immediately played it after the movie was done.
Hell yeah.
Mm.
Michael Mann also put some Audio Slave into that Miami Vice movie, which you may not remember. But he sure did. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. Michael Mann loves him some Audio Slave. And
good,
I respect
him.
That. Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Mm. R.I.P. Chris Cornell.
R.I.P. to a real one. There it is. Pour it out.
Pour one out for a real one. This carpet's gross. Who cares?
What you don't see is literally every time we pour one out for a real one here on Huntsville Home Video, Leanne literally pours one out.
I don't lie.
No.
I don't lie to our people.
You
when
don't.
I say pour one out, I'm there with you and I'm pouring one out.
I respect the dedication.
I even said it on the air one day and literally poured one out. That plastic thing you're sitting on top of, that your wheelie chair's on top of,
yeah,
it was wet. Had a little slippy slip.
I love if the morning show person comes in tomorrow and is going to notice a little wet spot on the floor. Every Monday, she's like, I know it rained yesterday, but is there a leak in the ceiling? Like, every Monday I come in, there's wet spots on the floor right over here. I don't understand.
It's just Lily pouring one out.
Oh, man. Well, my friend, I'm glad I added another positive mark on your film education here at Huntsville Home Video.
Part of that 95% of dead ringers.
Man, that's like 95.2% now, I think. The shelves at Huntsville Home Video are looking pretty good with some awesome movies.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
See if we can keep that train a-rolling. Kind of a couple things combined into the movie I want to suggest for next week.
Sure.
I want to watch a movie with an actor who I think that we, and when I say we, I mean myself and you and the world, an actor that the world has failed. I think we have failed this actor that I'm going to suggest it is in this movie.
Okay.
Also, it was requested a while back. We were talking about, you and I are in our day jobs include the wonderful world of radio.
Yes.
Broadcast radio.
Yeah.
And it's been commented a few times that we've told some radio stories that some of our Bakers Dozen want more of that. They want more radio stuff.
Oh.
So I am suggesting a movie that takes place in a radio station, and it stars an actor who needs more love, and God damn it, I am glad he is getting it right now. That actor is Brendan Fraser.
Oh, okay.
And we are going to watch the movie Airheads.
All right.
You ever seen? Yeah, I know you've never seen it. I don't know why I'm asking that.
Of course not.
Do you know anything about it?
No.
Well, let me give you the slightest, tiniest little bit about this movie. So we got Brendan Fraser, we've got Adam Sandler, and we've got Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
And they are a band trying to get their song on the radio.
Yes.
And that's all I'm going to give you.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to give you.
I'm in for this.
But this came from a point in time when Brendan Fraser was... like in everything, he ruled the 90s, and then he went away.
He did.
And then he came back, and he was a little puffier, and we all made fun of him for it.
I didn't make fun of him
thank
for
you
it.
For being
I know
a good
all
person.
About puffy. I know all about fucking puffier. I was slightly taken aback. I will admit.
Yeah.
I didn't make fun of him, but I was like, oh, I remember the mummy.
Right?
And then life happened.
Yeah.
God love him.
Remember,
God
remember
bless
how
his soul.
Shredded that dude was in George of the Jungle?
But then, let me tell you something. We'll get into that next week. Let me tell you something. You know, everybody has awakenings in their life. And when fucking George of the Jungle has to put the potpourri bowl like in front of him or whatever it was.
Wow.
God damn it.
I wish y'all could have seen the look that I just saw wash over Leanne Foster's face. My goodness, get your ass to church.
Woo! Woo! Brendan Fraser.
Damn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, when he came back and he was like puffy and was getting ridiculed, and then he was like, hey, I was the victim of a sexual assault, and then he was further ridiculed. I was like, fuck, man,
understand.
We failed Brendan Fraser.
We did.
We did.
We did.
We all did.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that he's now coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's got a couple roles in different things. Like he was on the Doom Patrol, like this comic book TV series. He was it. What was the other thing he was in? Like some Western thing.
I can't remember. I know the new one that's coming out.
Yeah. Like he's getting a lot of praise for this new Aronofsky flick, The Whale.
Mm-hmm.
He got like a 6-7 minute standing ovation.
He did. Did you see that video of his reaction
did.
When he hugged? I think he hugged Aronofsky.
Yeah.
After that, and just like, oh my God, if anybody ever needed anything, it was him in that moment.
Wholesome.
Yeah.
So wholesome.
Yeah.
And then I know you're no fan of TikTok, but I love it. I've been scrolling and I've seen people because like now, you know, Brendan Fraser's like hitting the convention circuit, meeting people.
Yeah.
And there's all this video of him meeting fans and he's just so like authentic and genuine and like genuinely happy that people like care about him and love him.
Aww.
It's like we need to do right by Brendan Fraser. God damn it.
We do.
We
God
fucked
love
up.
Him.
We fucked
we
up.
We all did. We'll take responsibility. He just kind of went away and we didn't check on him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He has a bitch ex-wife.
I was about to say, didn't he go through a shitty divorce?
Yeah.
Like very bad divorce.
Like the Cliff Notes version of it was they separated or whatever. And she was like, well, I need $1 million or like $900,000 a month.
Yeah.
Or some crazy number. For all of, you know, for like alimony and take care of these kids or whatever. And at the time, he was like fucking cranking out all these roles. He was doing all these things. But this is around the time he accused this movie studio of like inappropriate behavior. And he was kind of blackballed in Hollywood for a while because of that.
Right.
And then so those roles stopped coming in and he didn't make the money. So he asked the courts to, you know, kind of adjust that. And the wife was like, this is bullshit. He's faking it. He's hiding money, blah, blah, blah. So, and the courts upheld it. So he had to pay like $900,000 that he didn't have. It's like fucking bullshit.
Fucking bitch. God damn it.
Rash human beings.
Women are malicious that way.
They are.
You hear about that more with women than you do with men. Mm-hmm. Women are way more malicious.
You can't trust them.
No.
You can't trust. And
we're
I don't.
A bunch of sneaky bitches.
You are. You really are. Take that message back to your people.
I hate that I can think that way. You know? Like, seriously, nobody can. Women think on a different way. And it's like, I don't act upon it, but it's like, I have the ability to think and fuck up somebody's life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's sometimes it's hard not to do that.
Now, I know, Leanne Foster, you may find this quite shocking. I'm glad you're sitting down for what I'm about to reveal to you. I've been accused of misogyny a time or two in my life.
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
You and misogyny don't run in the same sentence?
No, we don't run in the same circles.
It's wild as fuck, man.
That's what
I can't
I'm saying.
Believe that.
That's what
I've
I'm saying.
I've never heard a turn of phrase from you or a Mm-mm. word that would even suggest such a thing.
No.
Where do these bitches grab this out of thin
That's
air?
What I want to know. But that being said, I get it. Yeah, there are reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're terrible.
Yeah.
Guess what? People are just terrible.
Yep. On both sides.
Women are included in that.
Yeah, I hate
That's
dudes,
all I
too.
Say. Like, there's a lot of dudes I hate. There's a lot of dudes who are douchebags.
Whatever the term is for dude hatred.
Right.
Hate them, too.
But, there's a lot of chicks that are just douchebags as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, if we just start treating the world that way, it'd be a lot better place. Mm-hmm. No.
Treat everyone like a douchebag, except Brendan Fraser.
That's right.
We got to do right by Brendan. And we're going to do our small part next week.
Yes.
By introducing my friend Leanne Foster to Airheads.
Love it.
I think this might even be a movie where you get that's where that came from.
Okay.
I think it might be.
I love those moments. Are they not great?
I think it might be.
Oh, my God.
So we will check that out next week. We'll be back to chat about Airheads. So between now and then, I have a suggestion for the Baker's Dozen.
Oh,
if you haven't already, give us a like, a follow, a subscribe. Tell your friends to do the same on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and my beloved TikTok.
Yes. Never can forget the TikToks. You can follow us at HSV. Home video. The HSV stands for Huntsville.
It does. Not
home video.
Not herpes simplex virus.
No.
As was pointed out to us by one of our Baker's Dozen when he was searching for HSV on the social meds, and now he can't get Valtrex ads out of his fucking pop-up ads.
Well, that's his problem. His herpes is his problem.
Oh, shit. Underboss Photography, give him a follow as well. Our show sponsor here, been with us pretty much since the beginning.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years now.
He's our boy, Blue.
That's our boy. Yeah. That's a callback. Old school. Check out that review at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. Ding.
Bing.
Underboss _ Photography. Give Michael a follow on all them social media platforms as well. And until next week, my friend. Be kind to yourself and others and to Brendan Fraser specifically and rewind. So seriously, the meaning behind that coyote is actually much deeper.
Okay.
And I'm going to turn this mic off and we'll talk about it in great detail. I have a 9-page thesis written.
Oh my gosh. I've got my paper ready for notes. Let's do it.